Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kalowski!
The Bucks win, and everyone should be happy. I emphasize should. I'm not going to enter this podcast and start with a negative that it's the Bears. No, I said on a podcast that the Bears were a team that were showing signs of life. Granted, I guess whenever you have Jay Cutler as your quarterback, you can implode at any time.
Yeah.
But I think a big part of that was the Buccaneers. You know, a few weeks back in this podcast, I said that it had occurred to me more than it ever had before that while it might be a cliche, the NFL is such a series of one-game weeks. I mean, that's it. One-game seasons, 16 of them. There's not the momentum that you have in college football. In college football, you start to win, and you win a couple, and now all of a sudden you got momentum, and momentum carries from game to game. You just don't see that in the NFL. You really don't. I think the really good teams, the elite teams, put themselves in position to win each week based on their talent. I think the really bad teams are behind the eight ball week after week. I think the Bucks are right on the line of either the upper tier of the below average or right at average, which means they're going to win some and some they're going to look bad. And I think that's what we're seeing with the Bucks this season. But when they face a team that is, I wouldn't even say on equal footing, but a little less, the 49ers, the Bears, they seem to handle those teams quite well. And they did against the Bears on Sunday. The offense, although it was a slow start to the game, and Doug Martin never got going on the ground, they allowed Jameis Winston to rip it through the air, and he had a ton of success doing it. Mike Smith, I know a lot of you have been critical of Mike Smith, but one thing Mike Smith did that other coaches, in particular Lovie Smith, never did, was he made the adjustment. He said, can't do this, can't continue to run the same defense I have been because I just can't generate the pressure that I'm looking for. And so he brought the pressure, got in Jay Cutler's face, and the leaders that we had spoken about stepped up. Jameis Winston had a great game. I thought Robert Ayers had a great game. Gerald McCoy made some plays. Good for him. I thought the coverage on the outside was very good. You know, I really think that all in all, this was as complete a game as the Bucks have played in a long time. I believe that they can still get better. They can still have a more complete game. I think the offensive line, in particular the tackles, have not been very good. The ground game was not very good. the linebacker play. There were times where the linebackers, when they get offensive linemen on them, in particular Levante David, he's done. There's no shedding blocks with those guys. But again, I don't want to just point out the negatives. I really think that it was a nice game to keep this season alive on a team that is deficient in talent. We know that now. We're not naive. But Jameis Winston, big play to Martino. Cecil Shorts made a play. Cameron Brait. I mean, it is kind of laughable because when you see the weapons other quarterbacks have around the NFL and you see what Jameis Winston has and you realize that Jameis Winston has a touchdown in, I think, either pass or run, but he has scored a touchdown in every game he's played in the NFL. And you look at the players he has around him and you're just like, how? I mean, there's never been a game where it's just been like, offense just never got it going. Maybe that should tell us a little something about Jameis Winston. Maybe he is making the players around him better. And they're just not very good. It'll be a continued theme, and it'll be a hashtag once the season ends. Weapons for Winston. It should be one of the goals of the upcoming offseason. But they got the win. They keep this season alive. I'm not ready to listen. They're not winning a Super Bowl. They're not going deep into the playoffs. But I've continually said, and I'll say it again this year, baby steps. You don't need to just take gigantic leaps forward. Baby steps are nice. Meaningful games in the late November and into December would be fantastic. I still think the only way you get there is a victory over the Seattle Seahawks in 2 weeks at home. And boy, it would really, really help if you got a victory against Kansas City next week. Because if you win this week and then go to Kansas City and lose next week and you're 4-6 coming home, it's deflating. And if you hear it in my voice that I'm not overly enthused and excited, don't blame me. Because you're probably the same way, right? Every time I feel like I get excited about the Bucks, I feel like the chair is ripped out from underneath me and I fall down, hit my head on the back of a table, split my head open, and blood spread squirting everywhere. The only reason I have that vivid of a memory is it actually happened to somebody in my third grade class at Lake Magdalen Elementary School. It was music class. And I wasn't the one that pulled the chair out. I was sitting off to the side, but somebody thought it'd be funny to pull the chair out from another boy, and he fell and hit his head on the back of the table, and blood was spraying everywhere. It was gross, but at the same time, I think we were all at that age where it was like kind of cool, and we didn't really have his health or concern for his health on our minds. So that's the age we were at. Nonetheless, I digress. Again, good victory for the Bucks. They're at a time where they have to win every game to keep the next game important. So now next week is the Kansas City Chiefs. They got to win to keep that important, to keep the next week important against Seattle. They win the next two, and I know it's a tough task. It's probably unrealistic. I think there are plenty of us that, you know, after the game on Sunday and the big win, dominating win, blowout win, when so many games were close around the NFL, we're feeling pretty good. We're puffing out our chest. We're thinking, this is it. The Bucs are turning the corner. But then you realize, yeah, I know. They got Doug Martin back. He wasn't himself. They got Clint McDonald back. But for the most part, it was a lot of the same guys. And are they going to be able to continue to do that? Are they going to continue to look the way they looked Sunday? Or do they have a better shot at looking the way they did against Atlanta or Oakland or any of the other teams that they've lost, or any of the good teams? Any of the good teams that they've lost to or the bad teams that they've beaten? Maybe that's a precursor that it depends on the team that they face. Well, Kansas City, And this weekend could not have gone better for me personally, first and foremost, but for the Bucs as well. Division rivals, all of them, Saints, Panthers, Falcons, all lose. For me, USF won in thrilling fashion on Saturday night. Bucs win. All three of my fantasy teams win. I mean, I honestly couldn't have asked for a better weekend. And my sister got married. Congratulations to her, which was nice to see her so happy. I do have some voice memos that I want to play, and then we'll get to the hot debate. Ooh, and we got some questions to get to as well. Before we get to the hot debate, let's go to Casey. Actually, I always love it when I get a timeline of people that give short voice memos, kind of like Casey in Atlanta, who started off, well, excited about a player he hates.
Hey, Justin, it's Casey. I'm out of Atlanta. How about Chris fucking Conte, okay? I know I hate the man, and I don't give a fuck how many picks he gets. I still don't want him in Tampa. But how about Chris Conte getting the fucking pick six, the first fucking points on the board? I can dig it. I can dig it.
That was just his first. So he's happy about Chris Conte, and then it all goes to hell.
Justin, it's Casey again. I mean, the Hail Mary. So fucking Bucks, right?
It was, but they came out and played the second half.
Jay Boo is making it fucking rain right now. He is making it fucking pour right now. Fucking thunder and lightning right now. Fuck you, Jay Cutler.
Okay. I don't even think that I would say that to Jay Cutler, because he was just gift wrapping it to the Bucks all day today. So rather than fuck you, Jay Cutler, I'm going to say thank you, Jay Cutler. And I still want to go to one of his parties, because he always does the 80s style parties, and had Billy Ocean at one of them, which would just be amazing to see in concert. Jorge.
Holy shit. I cannot believe that I saw a complete fucking game from the Bucks. I'm surprised. I don't know. I'm happily surprised. I don't even know what the fuck to say. Like, hope springs eternal. It's hard for me to even imagine. Like, I feel like, you know, battered spouse syndrome, Bucks fan, where I keep thinking it's gonna get better because they do shit like this, and then next week, who the fuck knows? And I gotta forget that they pistol whipped me last week. I don't know. I'm excited though. Good win. I just saw the Saints fuck it up royally. Atlanta's losing.
Yep, they lost.
Carolina's about to lose, maybe.
Yep,
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. The division is fucking wide open. What do you say?
Okay.
Other than siege the day.
Oh,
go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Yep.
Bucks win. Bucks win.
He's got Bucks fever. Appreciate that, Jorge. Some other people that were happy. Mike is happy.
Hey, Justin. This is Mike from Tampa. A much-needed Bucks victory is in the book. Defense played outstanding today. Wish we could play against Jay Cutler every fucking week. Hey, Conte, you actually did something against your former team, so good job there, but I still want his ass cut by the end of next year. Jameis was sensational today. That insane play early in the second half, fantastic. We have to have more of those. Aguayo didn't miss anything. You can tell there's a lot more power coming off his foot. You can tell he's not aiming the ball as much anymore, which is a much needed change. Offensive tackles are still ass. I hate to be negative on a victory like this, but DeMar Dotson, he played terrible, and overall not very good from Donovan Smith either. Thanks, Justin. Go Bucks.
Appreciate it. And it is nice to have such a logical point of view. If you've listened to this podcast, first off, you're probably a much smarter Bucks fan. As I have been telling you for the past month to month and a half, that DeMar Dotson is by far the worst offensive lineman the Bucks have right now, at least in the starting five. He signed his contract, and he's been terrible. Just god-awful. I think Donovan Smith, actually, you know what? I'm going to save that for the questions portion because I don't get to play the question open too often, and I do have a question about this, so I'll hold off on my Donovan Smith point. But just remember, DeMar Dotson is bad. He's been bad, and there's a reason that during draft time, I said do not be surprised if the Buccaneers are looking to an offensive tackle early in that draft. I thought Jack Conklin would have been a great fit. You bring in another offensive tackle, you got two young offensive tackles, two young guards, and then your center position that you had Holly, you had Evan Smith, but you're building a strong, young offensive line. They didn't get Conklin. Titans ended up getting him. The Bucs get Vernon Hargraves. Of course, every team's going to say, we got exactly who we wanted. They held off on paying DeMar Dotson, I think, until they had to pay DeMar Dotson. And now if I'm Jason Light, I'm looking at it going, do we really need that guaranteed money, or can we just cut him after this season? Because that position must be addressed. And I got some ideas, but that'll come up in our questions portion of the podcast. Only a couple more voice memos before we get to those questions. Garv is happy.
At the stadium, Justin, it is a Buccaneer blowout. People are having so much fun. It's all been worth it for this one game. Finally, everybody's partying, happy, and the Bears fans are leaving. And God damn, it feels good for a change. Many more back on the road, winning at home, and I'm damn happy. Garvin Sarasota still in Tampa, nailed it. Bye bye.
Get up. You did okay. Everyone's all pumped up. Patrick, let's get Patrick on. And then I think we can get into some questions. And then, of course, the big debate on Mike Evans.
Hey, Justin. This is Pat from Atlanta. And how about that moment, man? Jameis came in there and did his greatest Johnny Manziel impersonation and did his thing. He did his thing. He went out there and he rocked it. Good team effort. The D played well. And you said that Bears team was a good team.
Yeah. No, I was wrong.
We beat them. 4-5. Now I'm not going to get too excited. Because, you know, I'm going to be happy. It's a good old home win. I'm happy.
Happy.
But can we get 2 in a row? Nail the fuck out of this podcast. All right, go.
Thanks, man. Trying to. Just want to give you some nice things to listen to during your drive to work or whenever you listen to this early in the week. Again, the podcast is 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. First up at JoeBucksFan.com in the morning. And then, of course, subscribe on iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean. And those will download directly to your phone, usually sometime midday, so you can listen to it on your ride home on your phone from those locations, or still go to JoeBucksFan.com, which, oh, by the way, JoeBucksFan.com has the full transcript of what Mike Evans had to say after the game in regards to him sitting during the national anthem. Of course, the first thing I thought of when I heard that he was sitting during the national anthem was probably the same thing you thought of, was, okay, this is about racial relations. This is about how the black community has been treated across the nation. And lo and behold, well, at least according to his comments, it wasn't. Now, his comments, I have not been able to find them anywhere on Buccaneers.com. And his video is nowhere on Buccaneers.com, but apparently the Buccaneers have come out and supported him in his freedom of speech. We'll discuss that on the podcast in a moment, but before that, we don't do it that often anymore, but when we have a chance to, you know I'm always down for some questions.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. crushed it.
Oh yeah. I just really like playing Phil Collins on the podcast. But we can only play a little bit because we don't want to get in trouble. So Phil, thank you for your time, but get the fuck out. And it's time for some questions. Thank you very much to the people. And again, voice memos, different type of voice memos that we get in when the Bucks win as opposed to when they lose. A few more questions this time around. I said we'd talk about Donovan Smith, so let's jump right into Donovan Smith, shall we?
Justin, what do you think of Donovan Smith being moved to guard? He just seems to get blown up and manhandled on the outside way too much. As Dotson gets a holding call.
I think you answered your own question there. When Donovan Smith was drafted, my first thought was they can try him at left tackle, but eventually move him to right tackle and then bring in somebody else who can protect the blind side of Jameis Winston. He's a year and a half into his NFL career, so I'm not ready to throw in the towel on him, and I don't think the Buccaneers have room at guard right now, to be quite honest with you. When you have Pamphil and Ali Marpet playing well, and J.R. Sweezy somewhere getting healthy, you hope, but they did invest a lot of money in him as well. And I'm talking long-term, I'm not talking short-term right now. Long-term, I don't think you're moving Donovan Smith to guard. I think the logical place to put him is at right tackle and bring in somebody else to play left tackle. And in my opinion, the sooner I can do that, the better. I'm not a DeMar Dotson fan. I think he's a good guy. I think he's tapped into as much potential as he had. Remember, this was a guy who was a basketball player at Southern Miss, had never played football, or if he did, it was very small experience playing football. The Bucks had him on the practice squad, developed him for a very, very long time. He became a starter. I thought he became a good starter, but he's also getting near the tail end of his career now, and he was begging for a contract, and I stood my ground and said, I would not give the guy a contract. I would not give him the contract extension. You don't know how he's going to react once he gets it, and you don't want to have guaranteed money tied up into a guy who's past 30 years old. The Bucks gave him the contract extension this offseason. I think it was during training camp. And since then, by the way, DeMar Dotson, the best offensive lineman at training camp. Well, since then, he's been the Bucks' worst offensive lineman. Is it the money? I'll let you decide that. There's other things that I need to decide, though, and we go to Lou, who's got a question next. Hi, Lou.
Hey, Justin. This is Lou from Port Richie. Defensive-wise, I believe some players must be listening to the Bucks Uncensored and got the message.
Doubt it.
Looks that way, I hope. Really don't know what this means. You know, as a Buck fan, I want to get excited, but I have my reservations, you know. Until I see this on a consistent basis, I don't know, brother. I don't know. I just want to know what you think as a Buck fan, what this means, and going forward, do they even have a shot, man? Or is this, you know, I guess it is the Bears 2-6 team, but we'll see. Anyway, brother, Bricados, man. Fellas, you got to go.
You do have to go. And I appreciate people that tweet me pictures from inside of Bricados saying they're trying it for the first time. And everyone that goes there and tries it for the first time absolutely freaking loves it. What does this mean? Really doesn't mean much. It's good that it's a conference win. I think it's a good confidence booster for the team. And I'm hoping that we start to see some guys take over. As I said, for me, if I was Jason Light, the next 8 games, now last 7 games after today's or Sunday's game, I'm using it as evaluation. And so far, I mean, there are certain guys who are passing my test. Still need to see more. I've got plenty of time to make full evaluations, but I thought Robert Ayers really came in and played well. And, you know, when guys like that stand out, and I already felt pretty confident in me wanting to keep him around, you got to weed out the losers. You know, you can't continue to have effort being questioned, especially by a guy like Derrick Brooks. As we said in our last podcast, inexcusable. And you got to wonder, you know, people can't just flip the switch and go from a losing mentality to a winning mentality. And there, if there are guys in that locker room with the loser mentality, sometimes you got to take a knife to it, cut it out, and hope that it grows back the right way. And so, again, you take your time to figure out exactly how much you're going to have to cut out. And I think that that's what you have the last 8 games, now 7 games of the season. So what does this all mean? It's a win. They're 4-5, and it just means that next week's game is still important. I think the next time they lose a game, and you hate putting that pressure on a team, but if they lose a game within the next 4 weeks, then games become irrelevant. I think they are teetering on the verge of irrelevancy. But at 4-5, there's still a chance. And I think for you Bucks fans, that's all you're asking for at this point. Dante is up with us. Hey, Dante.
Hey, Commish. This is Dante in Atlanta. I'm sitting here watching a game. Bucks look good. But I have a question. We've all been critical of Jared McCoy. I mean, I have been, and rightly so. But instead of putting players next to him that he can make better, why not get somebody that's going to make him better? That's just a thought of mine.
Get that kid off the microphone. No, I'm just kidding. Love kids. I have my own daughter, who's not with me, though, because this is professional, and I wouldn't have her grabbing my microphone like your kids grabbing. Just kidding. Interesting question. So why not surround McCoy with players that are going to make him better, as opposed to putting players around him that you want him to make better? I don't think that's the goal. And I'm not saying you're wrong, because that's been what a lot of people have said. To me, if I'm a general manager, I'm not bringing in a guy thinking this guy's going to make Gerald McCoy better, or bringing in a guy and saying McCoy's going to make him better. I want to put together the best front four that I possibly can. You know, when I go out and get Robert Ayers, I'm not getting Robert Ayers because I'm hoping that he makes McCoy better or McCoy makes him better. I'm hoping that the two of them wreak fucking havoc in the backfield. And then when I draft Noah Spence, I'm hoping that he watches the way they prepare and the way they play and the intensity that they bring, especially Robert Ayers, who plays an end position and is more of a veteran who has more experience, especially experience winning, and hoping that Noah Spence take something from him but still becomes his own player, because I want a front four that makes it so I never have to blitz. And when I do blitz, I mean business when I'm blitzing. The Bucks aren't there yet. They have to blitz. They have to bring pressure. Mike Smith did that today. I understand your question, but I think it's just about putting together as many good players that can rush the passer as humanly possible, and then you have success from that standpoint. Last question here comes from Brandon, and it dives into the topic.
Hey, Commissioner Brandon, Bucks fan from Philly. I got a quick question for you. Mike Evans sat out the national anthem because Donald Trump is our president-elect. But DeMar Dotson is a Trump supporter on the team. He was very excited. I remember reading an article somewhere saying he was so excited that Trump won. What kind of conversation is happening in the locker room between these two? I know we don't want to talk politics, but I'm just curious.
I love talking politics personally, but I also understand that when you talk politics, you isolate one side and excite the other. And quite frankly, when I want to talk about sports, I'm usually trying to get away from politics. Now, I want to look at this from a broad standpoint. This has no relevance as to who I voted for, and it shouldn't have any relevance as to who you voted for. First off, let me read the Buccaneers statement that came out late Sunday night. And in regards to Mike Evans sitting during the national anthem. The Bucs said, quote, "The Buccaneers are deeply committed to the military and honoring the great men and women that have dedicated their lives and have made great sacrifices to ensure all the tremendous freedoms we have in this great country. We encourage all members of our organization to respectfully honor our flag during the playing of the national anthem. We also recognize every individual's constitutional right to freedom of speech, which is crucial to the American principles we cherish." I think it's a well-constructed statement. Now, do the Buccaneers fully back Mike Evans? No. No, because I searched everywhere on Buccaneers.com before I started recording this podcast on Sunday night, and I could not find his comments anywhere, whether it be video, audio, or written. The transcripts emailed to me did not have anything stating anything about Mike Evans and what he said in regards to sitting during the national anthem. Let's take into account here, too, Salute to Service, Veterans Day weekend, and Military Appreciation Day. Somebody tweeted me a link to one of the stories about it, and I did not give my opinion. All I said was on Military Appreciation Day. And of course, I get attacked by only two people because they're two idiots who said, well, one person said, well, it must be nice never having to live through what black people have to live through. Oh, okay. There are plenty of reasons somebody might want to protest during the national anthem. Something that I could never fathom. Because as much as I understand our freedom of speech, I also honor the people that have given us this right by standing during the national anthem. Not that hard to do. And there are way more other ways to voice a displeasure about something in the form of a protest, hopefully a peaceful protest, than in what I believe is disrespecting not the flag, but disrespecting the people that had fought for that flag, especially on Veterans Day weekend, Salute to Service, and Military Appreciation. So no, I do not agree with what Mike Evans has done or what he is planning to do. Now, Mike Evans, again, this is from JoeBucksFan.com because, quite frankly, I can't find it on Buccaneers.com. And they can stand by him and say that freedom of speech and whatnot. I have to get this off of JoeBucksFan.com, which is why they're my only source for Bucks news. Mike Evans said of sitting during the national anthem, quote, "I don't want to, you know, disrespect veterans or anything." Well, but that's what you did. There's no veteran. There's nobody that has fought for our country that stands there and watches somebody on the sideline sitting down in protest that does not get offended. They put their life on the line and they stand up and salute the flag after they're out of service as a veteran. And then see a professional athlete making millions of dollars sitting down, protesting what? I mean, at least make it a good protest. At least make it something worth fighting for. Evans said, quote, "The men and women who serve this country, I'm forever indebted to them. But, of course, the things that's been going on in America lately, I'm not going to stand for that. When Ashton Kutcher comes out and says we've been punked, then I'll stand again. But I won't stand anymore." my buddies, one of the Joes, followed up to ask Evans if he heard the jeers and commentary from nearby fans. He said, quote, I heard it a little bit, and it was from the people that I expected it to be from. What the fuck does that mean? Okay, continue on. Evans said he did not ask for the team's support before making the call to sit during the anthem. He was clear that it was a protest of Donald Trump's election. Quote, if this happens, then America's not right right now, Evans said. I said, he said, this is him, quote, I said this a long time ago. When Donald Trump ran, I thought it was a joke, and the joke continues. I'm not a political person that much, but I got common sense. Common sense? And I know when something's not right. May I remind you that Mike Evans is a millennial. And what's going on right now, listen, whether you voted for Donald Trump or voted for Hillary Clinton or voted against both of them or didn't vote at all, one thing is for certain. Moving forward, it doesn't matter who I voted for. It doesn't matter who you voted for. We're all in this together now. It's over with, right? The Electoral College, he got a majority of the vote. He's going to be president. Whether, no matter who I've voted for in the past, including this election, once it's over with, I have no fucking idea if they're going to be a good president. Nobody knew if Obama was going to be a good president. And you can argue, yes, he was, no, he wasn't. It doesn't matter. Nobody knows what type of president Donald Trump is going to be. You don't know. You don't know the people he's going to surround himself with. You don't know how he's going to work with Congress. If he's going to go rogue, all you can do is assume. So that puts us, again, if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, whoever you voted for, none of that fucking matters now. And all these people protesting, none of it matters now. Nothing's going to change. They're not going to suddenly just give the presidency to Hillary Clinton. So all I'm saying, whether it's Mike Evans or anyone else, whether you voted for Trump or for Hillary or anyone else, is now that it's all said and done, and we don't know what type of president they're going to be, all we have is hope. That's all we have. You're protesting Donald Trump because you assume he's going to be a bad president? And maybe your assumptions are going to be right. But don't you want your assumptions to be wrong then? There are certain things, certain criteria, that's the only thing I care about when it comes to politics. Protecting my daughter from terrorists. That's it. That's no, numero uno. Because they want to kill everyone. Anyone against them. They want to kill. Kill, 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 kill. I need a president that's going to protect me and my family, my daughter in particular, at any cost necessary. Number two, I need money, man. I don't need money being taken away from me. I need money coming to me, or at least staying with me. The money I earn, I'd like to keep as much of it as I possibly can. Third, kind of goes with that, healthcare, man. I mentioned on a previous podcast, I have a very, very, very incredibly stable, excellent job that I love to go to. I mean, I love to go to every day. Part of that job is I have a detailed knowledge of what's going on when it comes to companies, businesses, and their healthcare. And the way it was going, employees of company, and it's so sad because you're just like, I remember when I was in radio and they increased the family tier for what we were paying from like 300 to 600. I was like a double just because we sold from CBS to a little company called Beasley. And it was like a $300 increase per month. Well, I got news for you. People in radio don't make that much money. And a $300 increase is like, holy shit. How are we going to live? Now, let's not even think about saving money anymore. It's how are we going to live? And that was just my experience when I was working in radio. Now, where I work now, and seeing that it's happening all across the country, my mind starts to go a million miles a minute, and I'm thinking, if that's just how I felt at one company at one time, is this how everyone's going to feel when their premiums double, triple? That's another criteria for me. There's not a lot. More than likely, Donald Trump's going to take over as president, and it's going to be a status quo. It's going to be okay. Some things are going to happen, but there's not going to be anything major. We're all going to be alive. We're all going to be fine. I don't anticipate him saying anything dumb anymore. He's not campaigning. And once he got everything in check, yeah, I think he's going to go into the White House. And if you hate him now, you're probably going to continue to hate him. If you like him now, you're probably going to continue to like him. But either way, I don't think he's going to do anything crazy that's going to change the world. It's just going to be 4 years and then we all vote again. But if the millennials want to go out and protest, that's fine. I would be curious to know if Mike Evans voted. Because what's astonishing to me are people that are protesting that didn't vote. And then if they voted, they don't really know what they're voting for. Certain stances, certain policies. See, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably pretty intelligent. I'm intelligent, you're intelligent, that's fine. But when you flip on the news and you see the shit going on, and again, I am still young at heart, but I'm not in my early 20s anymore, and you see that that's the generation that is protesting and they're out and they're doing all these things, just let's rally around each other. And I don't mean to sound all, you know, lovey-dovey here, but we're all in this together. Election's over. Once the election was over, you know, and that goes back to the question that was asked, you know, how can Dotson and Mike Evans be in the same locker room if one voted for Trump and one voted for Hillary? Well, we don't even know if Mike Evans even voted. Maybe he just wants to protest to protest, which is, again, a millennial thing. I think it's very simple. I'm sure there are people that voted for the candidate that I did not vote for. I don't care. I'm not going around gloating and, you know, pounding my chest if my candidate won, and I'm not going to protest or cry or bitch or moan if my candidate lost. You know, for 8 years, two elections, Barack Obama got elected. I mean, if there were protests, there were minor protests, there wasn't anything crazy. You know, and I get it. Donald Trump doesn't have experience. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats just completely lambasted his character for the last 6 months. That's going to drive a little bit of hate. And that's the funny thing. Love Trump's hate. Okay. There's a lot of hate in a lot of people's eyes right now. Okay. Whether you're there protesting or not, there's a lot of hate in our world. It all comes back to just hoping. We all hope that he does a good job. There's nothing else we can do. The country has spoken. He's going to be the next president. Mike Evans can continue to sit and be disrespectful to the flag, to our country, to the military, to the men and women who have fought for our freedom, to the men and women who are still fighting for our freedom, to the men and women who will fight for our freedom. Because he doesn't like the presidential choice. I mean, I said before, there are plenty of good reasons to protest. The selection and election of a president is not one of them. That's called democracy. I'd be saying it no matter who the presidential choice was and no matter who was sitting down. I disagreed with Colin Kaepernick because I thought there were better ways that he could bring awareness, especially with his stature. But even I'll acknowledge that that's at least a better reason to protest, because I understand what has gone on nationally when it comes to the African American community and the black community and what they've been going through. And I understand awareness needs to be brought to that. Now, does that mean kneel during the national anthem? I think there are better ways to handle that, but that's something that awareness needs to be brought to the black community and the police force. And man, you just shake your head and you go, what the fuck is going on here? But now we got a guy sitting on the bench during the national anthem because he doesn't like the choice for president? I mean, what the fuck? All we have is hope. That's it. I stay away from politics. I follow it very closely, but I stay away from politics on this podcast for the most part. This has been as electric as a political season as you'll ever have. I think I've thrown a few nuggets in there, but listen, we're moving on now. No hard feelings from any side, from anybody who thinks any way. I hope you feel the same way I do. And let's just hope that our president gives us as good a life as we possibly can have at this stage in our history. We'll end with Angry Mike. Hello, Angry Mike.
Justin, it's Angry Mike, Section 109, Row E. I guess I'm not angry today, but I did notice that basically our star player, Mike Evans, decided to sit his fucking ass down during the national anthem because he didn't like Trump. So here we are, honoring all the veterans gone, killed, alive, still fighting, and this motherfucker decides to sit down on our salute to service game. Well, we beat the Bears in classic Denny Green language. They are who we thought they are. They fucking sucked. So we beat the Bears. Let's all get excited like we're going to the Super Bowl now. But we beat the Bears. Offensive line played all right. Jameis, a little more accurate than normal. Couple of them were off, but a little more accurate than normal. But hey, guys, let's all be happy that we don't have Jay Cutler, because Jay Cutler fucking sucks. Anyways, I mean, I can't complain too much. Go Bucks. Mike, stand your ass up. Stop being a bitch. I get it. You don't like Trump. A lot of people don't like Trump. Stand your ass up. Play some ball. Let's get this over with.
I hear you. Appreciate everyone that has joined us for this podcast, and hopefully we can all come together with this win and with our country moving forward and just hope for the best with both parties. Not political parties, with both being the Bucks and our country. Nonetheless, I'm Justin Pulowski. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, the Bucks Uncensored podcast at joebucksfan.com, and then on iTunes, Podcast Addict, and Podbean. Follow me on Twitter as well, at @commissonline. Just nailed it.